Hey, how you all doing? I don't know what he's doing. He's putting his
hand. It's a super up close thing on my hand.
Oh, like Wayne's World? Whoa! Whoa! Total radical, dude.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Mr. Nikki Star?
I'm doing fantastic. A little worn out, but I'm fantastic. Fantastically worn out. That's how I put it.
Yeah, been on the road a lot?
Yeah. So we played, three shows this weekend. We played Friday night out in Oakwood, Illinois, Saturday in Blanchester, and Sunday in Hamilton, Ohio. And three really, really cool shows. All were pretty cool and unique, you know, on their own. We had, in Oakwood, Illinois. It's a really cool venue out there called Exit 210 Saloon. They have this really killer stage out there outside, and just great people out there. They always take really good care of us, hook us up with a bunch of food. And they have this really nice dressing room that we were able to hang out in and watch some videos. And I think we did a live video from that this weekend. And it's kind of all a blur, honestly. You know, now looking back, it's like that whole weekend just flew by. But Friday night we played there, and actually something cool that happened was I played the Star Spangled Banner for my guitar solo moment, and the owner of Exit 210 came over and asked. He's got a bunch of fireworks. He had like 89 fireworks that he wanted to set off, and like massively giant ones. And he was like, "Is there any spot during your show that we could let that off like early in the show?" And I was like, "Oh, absolutely. You could do it during my solo if you want. That would be really cool." So I'm playing that solo, and there's like a ton of fireworks going off behind me. So that was pretty cool. Nice. Yeah. And that was a fun show, fun night. Woke up the next morning and drove over to Blanchester, Ohio. And that was a lot of fun. Let's see who's on here. Maybe some people actually went to these shows.
We got a few people, actually.
Yeah.
We got Emma.
Hey, Emma. How's it going? We got Vicky Smith, my woman.
What's going on, Vicky?
Vicky Bevel. I hope I'm saying that right. But her and Russ, they were there on Sunday. Let's see. Danny was there Saturday and Sunday, and Dean was there in Hamilton. I like his little cartoon character. That's cool.
I've been seeing those a lot on Facebook. I think Josh has one.
Yeah.
A few of my friends have one. I'm like, where are they getting all this stuff?
Yeah. So there
is actually one show I really wanted to talk to you about. It was an acoustic show. Wasn't too long ago, actually. You opened up for the legendary singer of Dead Daisies, The Scream, and Motley Crue, John Corabi.
Yeah. So I seen he was coming to JD Legends, and it was a night that our band didn't have anything going on. So I hit up the guys at JD Legends and asked if they needed an acoustic opener. And they said they did. They said they needed one more to fill some time. And I said, well, would you care if we just got up there and like played a couple songs? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. And so we got I basically just wanted to get into the show for free.
Well, you kind of did.
Yeah, we did. And we ended up getting paid for it, too.
Well, and the best part about it is I was there for this. I'm right next to John, and he calls you guys out.
Yeah. So he was watching us. I remember we were sitting there playing a song, and I looked out and I could see him walk into JD Legends. And he's like walking around, you know, looking all cool. And he sits down at the sound booth, and he's just sitting there watching us. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is so surreal for me that first off, I'm a huge John Corabi fan. Like the Motley 94 album is my favorite Motley Crue album. It's one of my favorite albums, period. And I love his voice. I think he's just the coolest, most humble, you know, rock star probably ever. He's just cool. I don't know how else to explain it, but so for him to be sitting there watching us was just like, oh my God. Like I had to sit, I remember looking out there and I like freaked out for a second, like, oh shoot, what song am I playing? You know, like, but, so that was cool. And then, yeah, so he called us out in the middle of his set. He was like, you know, what was the name of that band that played before us? And we really didn't go as that arena rock show. We just kind of went up there as like, I think they literally billed it as T-Bone and Nikki Starr and Friends or something. But right. We were just wanting to get out there and just have some fun. So we did. And he, I guess after watching us, he noticed that we were all pretty young and kind of gave us some crap for being young. And basically told us we had to go home because we were too young. It was hilarious.
He basically just said, yeah, thank you. But, you know, I was like,
yeah. Oh, that was fantastic.
I remember messaging you during that. I was like, are you still here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I seen a guy videotaping it, like on his, or video recording it on his phone. And I was like, oh, hell, I got to go ask him if he'll send me that. So this guy sent it to me, like airdropped it to me, like literally right then and there. And so I posted that video up on Facebook. And yeah, that's something I'll never forget. I guess that's probably one of the only times that it'll be nice to be told, you know, F you.
By a legend.
By a legend. But no, he was really cool. So that was a good night. So
I actually took the time to talk to him a little bit after the show. I asked him if I was allowed to, you know, get him on, you know, my show and this show as well. And he said after he was done with his music videos and his touring, he's open for an interview. And I have his email. So,
oh, cool.
It will happen.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him on here. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. John's an amazing guy. So yeah, hopefully it'll happen.
He is. And he's very talented. I'm looking forward to some of his new solo stuff he's about to put out. And whatnot. And I think he's actually coming up to BMI Speedway in the end of September. I might head up to that.
I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
I wonder what that is.
But yeah, so Saturday we played in Blanchester and that was pretty cool. Got to kind of go around and get some fair food and it was actually an early night. We played from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Ooh. And yeah, right in the middle of the heat too.
Yeah, I know.
A little brutal, but so that we did that, and then actually I got to go home Saturday night and spend the night in my own bed with my dogs and you know, my own shower. And so then woke up, you know, around 11 or so and went back up to Hamilton to do that show. And that show was killer, man. The crowd turned out and they sold the VIP tickets out. I heard that Richard's Pizza sold out of food and Cheese and Chong's, which is a great name, sold out of food. And there had to be at least 3,000-4,000 people there. And it was just an amazing night. I remember playing the show and it was great. And I remember as it was getting dark, you know, the city of Hamilton was lit up with lights and you could see like the landmarks of, you know, all the stuff downtown Hamilton. And actually we played and ended the show on time because we had to only do 90 minutes there. We couldn't play. They didn't want us to play any longer. So we ended the show and it was on time. Everything was great. We're walking off. We're like, hey, let's run up to the merch booth. Let's see if we can go say hi to some people. And people were screaming for another song and the fireworks were already going off. So I asked Jack, I looked at him, I said, hey, is your bass working? And he strummed some, you know, chords or whatever. And his bass was on through the house. So we were like, screw it. Let's just go out there and give it a shot, you know? So we went out and played Rock You Like a Hurricane, you know, for one more song. And it was so cool looking out there, all these people singing, having fun. And you got fireworks off to the, in the distance. And it was just a beautiful night and, you know, something I'll never forget. And it was just great all around. All the people there at River's Edge are cool. The they have like volunteers and interns working there, helping load in and load out and set up stuff. And they were fantastic. Huge, huge help, because we actually had to load all of our stuff a pretty far distance, because we had to park on the street. And but there was like 10 or 12 people helping us the entire time, and we're used to only, you know, two or three people helping us. So all that help really was, you know, awesome. And yeah, it was just a great night all around. I had a lot of friends there, I had a lot of family there, so it was just one of those nights that where it's like, yes, this is why I do this. You know,
maybe one day I'll come back to do another, you know, see another show with you guys, because I sadly couldn't make it with, you know, family and everything. But you guys always put on a great show. I mean, you guys always kill it. You guys always bring something new to the stage too, you know, new song, a different energy, a new solo or whatever. I don't know if any people ever else noticed that, but I always notice you guys bring something new, and I like that.
Yeah,
it's always good to see that.
Yeah, we try to bring something new to the show. It was small, but one thing we did different this show was we usually play Schools Out, and we have Wayne and Garth come out during that. But this time we actually did it during Sweet Emotion, because there's the Aerosmith and Wayne's World connection, and Wayne's World too.
Yeah, did you say you're worthy, get up?
Yeah, no, it had to be a kind of a quick thing, and they came out during the part where Getty and Jack are just kind of jamming there at the end, and they came out during that, and then they also came out for the fan photo we got to take, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And so that was a little different. We also did the Star Spangled Banner, and Barbie doll came out as Lady Liberty, which was pretty cool, and like the Statue of Liberty, so that was pretty cool. But Tattoo My Baby Please, you got it, Justin.
hang on, somebody also mentioned What's Up With My Tie. Who said that? Trying to look for him. Was it Dorian? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Dorian asked, what is with my tie?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be straight with you. It's just a persona that I came up with. One day I was waking up to interview Steve Boston, and I just noticed I was wearing a white shirt and tie, and I just kind of kept it.
Yeah, this guy right here, man, major props to him. He,
who's that guy?
I don't know.
Huh.
He looks cool in his picture. But
yeah, he looks nice.
Goofy name. But anyways, he killed it all weekend. And, you know, one thing that, you know, a lot of singers get worried about is, you know, their voice is giving out after a show or two, you know, and he did three in a row and was strong, man. Mm-hmm. So that was, I thought he sounded the best on Sunday night, which is, you know, three shows in. So that was really cool. So major props to him. Sunday was insane. It was awesome seeing the Star Spangled Banner with the EMTs, Air Force. Yeah, so that was really cool. I thought it would be fun to honor all these people that have been, you know, protecting us, you know, over this pandemic and over, you know, just in general. Mm-hmm. So they've been protecting our freedoms, and as you know, we're getting our freedoms back. I just thought it'd be cool to recognize them and bring them out and share a moment with them and honor them for all that they do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool to be able to bring up. I had a couple friends that were actually up there and a couple people that just messaged our message that we put out on Facebook. So that was really fun to be able to do that and meet some new people.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have a lot of respect for our, you know, men and women out there that serve our country. You know, if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't be doing this right now. So right. I always give the props to them. Always high respect.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that was fun. Oh, I had the dance moves going on. So I woke up Monday morning with the sorest hips in my life. I don't know if it was from dancing or if it was from, you know, you know, standing all weekend or what it was, but my hips were killing me. I had to take two jetted Epsom salt baths in one day to make that somewhat go away.
Working out too hard, I guess.
I guess.
Or maybe I taught you some dance moves and it just got to you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, hey,
I've seen some of your dance moves, pal.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
they say I'm pretty good at it.
You're something.
Nah, not really. I mean, I could try to be, but actually, I went to a wedding one day and did a dance there.
Yeah.
You know, it's been so long since I've, you know, done an actual dance. So out of shape. My entire chest and everything just started. And I'm like, I got this. I can finish the dance. I can finish. Okay. I'm done. So got to be careful. I got to get back in shape for that.
Hey, someone likes the tie. So that's good.
You know, it's Star Wars style.
You're extremely formal and I'm extremely informal. So
it makes sense.
It works. You know? It works out.
Exactly. You know, total opposites. A formal guy talking about rock and roll. And then there's the informal guy that loves talking about rock and roll. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But what are we going to talk about tonight? There was the main thing we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So we thought it would be kind of cool to talk about the album that kind of started it all with, you know, 80s hard rock, hair metal, you know, that kind of vibe. And that album that started that all is clearly Metal Health by Quiet Riot.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, that band, amazing band. Some people may disagree with me, but I think they are very underrated, even though they came out with the album that was the first heavy metal album to actually score number one on the Billboard charts.
Yep. You
know, very, very amazing band. And there's a lot of stuff that happened, you know, between those years before that album even came out. Like, did you know that you know, Frankie Benelli is not actually the original drummer of the band?
Really? I did not. Who is the original?
His name is, if I can find it, Kelly Garney.
Okay.
He was the first one to, you know, join the band. A lot happened during the time. This is in the 70s when Randy Rhoads was part of the band. Because this was his band, actually.
Yeah, he started it, right.
Right. Well, I guess during the time, the reason why he was let go from the band, or should I say fired, was that one day he robbed a liquor store. I can't remember how many liquor and booze he robbed, but he took a lot. He went home. Randy was there, and they were just drinking for 6 hours straight.
Oh, my God.
And I guess Kelly got so drunk that he got into a fist fight with Randy. Randy stopped them, of course. And then he decided, okay, you know what, brother? I'm just paraphrasing because I don't know what he really said. But he basically said, okay.
You sound like Hulk Hogan there.
Let me tell you something, brother. I will go out to Kevin DeBro's house and I will kill him. That's basically what he kind of said. He basically looked at Randy and wanted to, like, all right, we're going to settle this. Why he's drunk, to go out of the car, drive over to Kevin DeBro's house. He doesn't make it there because he's not in a good state to drive. The cops pull him over. He gets charged with DOI, a bunch of other stuff that I can't remember. And he was in jail, and Randy called him up and said, you're out.
Called him in jail and said he's out?
Well, called him up. Just like, yeah. He called him in jail. It's like, hey.
Really?
You're out. Sorry. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of people think Frankie is the original member, which in some ways he is. I mean, he was the one that was part of the reformed band and made it bigger than what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, little side note there. It's quite kind of crazy, you know, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, I know you probably know the death of Randy Rhoads was took a big toll on the band, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do you know?
He was out with Ozzy during the time that he died, right? Yeah,
that's right. He
quit Quiet Riot at that time, or was Quiet Riot on like a hiatus?
Actually, no. The band fell apart around 78, 79. Really? Randy left the band. Rudy Sarzo left the band. Went to go join Ozzy. Kevin tried to keep it alive, but it failed. He couldn't do it at the time.
Oh, okay.
But I guess when around the years of 82, 81, Kevin DeBro decided to get the band reformed. Randy Rhoads was still alive at this time. He recruits Carlos Ceballos, one of the most underrated guitar players of all time. He never gets the recognition he deserves, I think.
Yeah.
He has a bass player, Chuck Wright. There was another bass player that tried to replace Chuck, but it didn't work out. And then, of course, Frankie Benelli came in. And then Kevin called up Randy and asked for his blessing to say, hey, can we use the name?
Hmm.
He didn't mind that. But then, you know, a few days later, Randy got into a plane crash. And yeah, so and that kind of really affected Rudy a lot. So Rudy actually left Ozzy. He was invited to talk to the guys. And here's an interesting thing. So Rudy's not a member yet, or he's still an ex-member, I should say.
Mm.
Chuck Wright, I don't know what songs he was responsible for during the album, but when Rudy came in and asked if he can do a special, you know, part in the song Thunderbird, which is a tribute to Randy Rhoads, which I think is one of the best tracks off the album. It's a slow song, but it's awesome. And after Rudy did that, I guess the guys had so much fun that they ended up recording half the album without Chuck.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I knew Chuck Wright played on Metal Health, right? The song.
Yeah, I knew he had something to do with it. I just don't know how many tracks he did.
Yeah.
But Chuck left the band. Rudy was in. Rest is history right there.
Yeah. So they put out the album, and what Come On and Feel the Noise was the first single?
Actually, it was Metal Health.
Metal Health was the first single?
Yeah, it was. Really? It had moderate success. It reached like the Billboard charts of number 31 of the Billboard charts. You know what I mean? It's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
But as that happened, they made, you know, Come On, Feel the Noise. And here's a story that you probably would have never thought of this. Now, we all know Come On, Feel the Noise is a Slade song, right?
Right, right.
And they're known for doing Slade covers. Well, Quiet Riot did not like the idea of doing a Slade cover.
Huh.
So they were going to actually be lazy with the song. They didn't want to do it.
Oh, really?
They wanted to do it. They wanted to make the song so bad that Kevin wanted to see it fail. They wanted to have the producer not put it on the album, whether he wanted to or not.
Huh.
That's how much they did not want it. But I guess through accidental coincidence, when Rudy, you know, was drumming wrong and missed a few notes in the chorus and everything, it just sounded good. And I guess Kevin DeBro was ticked off about it. So after that song was created, that is the song that made Metal Health what it is. It was made the album hit number one.
Yeah. I forget that one ranked pretty high. Like, it went up pretty high on the Billboard, right? That song.
Yeah, it was like Billboard 200 album.
Well, I mean, it was higher than Metal Health. Metal Health was 31, but
yeah, 31. And Come On, Feel the Noise,
I think it was like in the top 10 somewhere.
Yeah, it's not top 10. And again, it made that album hit number one. And thanks to that song, that's what made the whole hair metal, glam metal, hard rock, or whatever you want to call it, breakout.
Oh yeah,
because of that.
As soon as record companies seen that was working, you know, they started signing everybody, you know. So what came next? Like Twisted Sister
Twisted Sister came in, and then of course Motley Crue. They were technically already big in LA, but with Metal Health, that kind of brought them back higher, which Shout Out the Devil. So in many ways, yes, you got to thank Quiet Riot. You know, whether you think, you know, that's just the only good album they have, that album is what made metal history.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great album, too. I was listening to it today and forgot about some of those songs on there. I can't remember the name of it, but it's in the first five tracks. It's got that real clean tone at the beginning during the verses and stuff. But killer song. The whole album.
What's your favorite?
Was it Don't Want to Let You Go? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great tune, man.
Oh, yeah. I love that tune. Very underrated. Yeah. But my favorite tune, my first favorite tune is Let's Get Crazy.
Yeah.
Love that. The solo, and then all of a sudden it picks up, and all of a sudden they say, you know, let's get crazy. Makes me want to go outside and cause a riot. Not really. I'm not like that.
Okay.
And then my second favorite song is, well, I'm shocked to say this, but Love Is a Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is my second favorite song.
Yeah. So actually let me see if I can find it. Talk for a second. I gotta go over here.
Of course. Yeah. While he's looking for that, I do have my album out right now. It's a remastered album right here. Shows right there by 1982, Quiet Riot formed by guitarist Randy Rhoads and vocalist Kevin DeBrew, and had released two albums in Japan, which is something interesting. I'm trying to look for those two albums that are in Japan.
Yeah, I ended up finding this, and I went on vacation in Florida.
Vinyl.
And, yeah, I got the vinyl copy of it. It was only like $5, and I got it. Yeah, it says Chuck Wright, bass guitar on Mental Health and Don't Want to Let You Go. Yeah, that's cool. Let's see if there's anything in here. I don't know if I've opened it up yet.
I actually have that vinyl too. Upstairs, of course. I ain't gonna go get it because I'm too hot to get up.
I just love the cover. You know, it's just cool.
I think this is one cover that really caught the people's attention, and I think that's also another reason why this album went so.
Yeah. Do you know what the story is with the mask?
I actually don't. I tried looking into that. I mean, I was so busy focusing on what made the album so special and how the band was reformed. I can't really tell you how much the mask thing came about.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I should have
looked up. Man, like, this is what I miss about records these days is album artwork and pictures of bands and stuff, you know, liner notes. Like, you don't really get that anymore. When you just listen to it on Apple Music, which I love the convenience of, but I miss having all this, you know, big stuff to where you can look at it and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Now you saw Quiet Riot twice, correct?
Yeah. So when I was younger, there was a tour that came around called. This might be wrong, but I thought it was called Rock Never Stops, and it went to Timberwolf at Kings Island.
Oh, and Timberwolf.
Cinderella was the headliner.
Really?
And Rat. And I think Karabi was with Rat at the time, actually.
I keep on forgetting that he was with them for a bit.
Yeah. And so I can't remember. I think it was Firehouse, Quiet Riot, and... Rat and Cinderella and maybe one more band, but I don't remember this, but actually I seen a post from a friend recently that said like Quiet Riot played 4 songs that night or something. It was just like really short sets by every band. Like Cinderella was the headliner and they only played 45 minutes. I think Dewey's right here. I think it was Slaughter. I think you're right. From what I remember, it was a great show, but actually they were doing meet and greets at their merch booth.
Oh, nice.
And, so I actually got a picture with Frankie and Kevin somewhere. I'd have to dig it up. But I got to meet those two. And that was really cool. I think they signed my album. Actually, hold on a second.
I can probably find that.
And while he's finding that, I want to talk about what is your guys' favorite Quiet Riot songs? And it doesn't have to be from Mental Health. It can be from Quiet Riot 3 or the Randy Rhoads years. Condition Critical, which is my second favorite album, mind you.
Yeah, so this is the Quiet Riot Greatest Hits, and I had Frankie and Kevin both sign it. There we are.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it, though. That is awesome.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, that's actually pretty cool that you actually got to see Quiet Riot with Kevin.
Yeah,
I never seen Quiet Riot, not with any of the other guys or ever.
Yeah,
the closest thing I ever got to see Quiet Riot is the festival from '83. I don't know if you watched that.
I haven't watched that. Is that the US Festival?
Yeah, that's with it had, you know, famous bands, Triumph. Yeah.
I've seen the Triumph version from that show.
Triumph was good. Judas Priest, Motley Crue, of course. Everybody knows about that one.
The early crew, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Shout Out the Devil era. And a few other bands that I can't really name at the top of my head at the moment, but that was apparently a very, what's he say? I saw Quiet Riot at Bogart's with Randy Ronda long ago.
Randy Ronda.
He said Ronda. It said Ronda. I was like, Randy Ronda.
No, that's amazing, though. That's cool that Randy Rhodes played Bogart's. That's freaking amazing.
I'm jealous of you, Wes.
Yeah.
Wish I could see Randy Rhodes, one of the best guitar players of all time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But yeah. So, and then I was in a band at one point that opened for Quiet Riot over at McGuffey's in Dayton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Frankie was on the drums, and Chuck Wright, I think Chuck Wright was on bass, and I want to say Alex Grassi was on guitar, who's playing with them still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And the singer was, I think, some guy. Like, I want to say that they found this guy, like, he made this video and he was like working at Home Depot or something, and he was singing Mental Health or something, and it went viral on YouTube or something, and they got that guy to sing and tour with them. If I'm thinking of this correctly, I'm pretty sure that's the story, but that was the guy that was singing with them when I got to open for him or whatever. But Frankie was really cool that night. I got to talk to him for a second, and it's cool I got to stand on the side of the stage and watch him play, and just a hard hitter, man, you know, just those big drums. And so that was pretty cool to see. It's a shame he died, what, a year or two ago?
He died pretty recently, actually.
Yeah.
2018 or 19, I think.
Yeah, I remember listening to the Eddie Trunk podcast with him, and he was like literally taking chemo on the podcast. Like, he was talking to him while he had chemo going, running through him and stuff. And I was just like, good God, man. So, it broke my heart hearing him die.
His family, you know, God love him. And also rest in peace as well. His family, you know, had a history with cancer. I remember watching the Behind the Music documentary about his mom having cancer, his dad having cancer and everything. It's just, you know, cancer follows the family around. It's just like, wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
It's also,
I'm sorry. Said, I just seen his comment. That's great.
Yeah. You know what? I want to mention something about Tristan and his style with talking to people. Because when I was watching the 83 festival again, and the way, you know, Kevin was talking to people, you know, it's like, do we have any loud maniacs out there? Totally reminded me of Tristan. And I was like, I wonder if this is where Tristan got that, you know, that vibe where how he can talk to people like that. Yeah. Tristan, is that where you got that vibe? Was Kevin DeMuro? Or was it just from multiple singers? If you can answer that question quickie, thank you. you know, there's another interesting thing. So,
and I'm over, by the way, I was listening to this today and I was like, that would be cool. I'd hate to drop Mental Health because it's such a fun song and a fun moment in our show, but I would like to try this at some point.
I think you guys should actually do an entire Quiet Riot tribute, you know, play Mental Health, come on, Feel the Noise, play something from the Randy Rhoads years, play the entire Mental Health album if you have to, even Condition Critical, which I got to ask. Have you listened to Condition Critical?
You know, I don't think I have. I think that's the other album I bought at the record store, and I still haven't listened to it. But
by far, this is probably the second best album they sold.
Yeah, that's the other one I got.
This was the album that somewhat ticked off some band members, sort of.
Yeah.
Kevin the Bro is known to have a mouth. Talking crap.
Yeah.
And I guess when Kevin said something bad about a bunch of other bands, their sales went down so bad for this album that's why this album failed.
Gotcha.
But it's also the era when they had the best live performances. And again, I watched a lot of their live performances, and they are fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the stage shows with, you know, all those glam metal bands, is you don't really see that very much anymore. You know, with you guys trying to bring that back, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just something you don't really see much, though. I mean, you know, you don't, the same energy is there, but it's just not as big as what it was.
Yeah, well, I think it has a lot to do with songs too. I think that you know, the songs back in the day were written so well. You know, some people think they're cheesy, but, and some of them are, but I think a lot of them were just really good written songs, and you can perform to those kind of songs, to where these days a lot of bands aren't writing that kind of music and writing fun music, and you can't really perform, you know, to a lot of music these days isn't fun. So it's hard to have a fun performance to something if the music you're performing to isn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some new bands that have come out, like Greta Van Fleet or
good band,
Dirty Honey, or
they're actually grown on me.
Yeah, and you know, they're great. I think that they've got a really good chance of bringing some of that back to life. The Struts,
good band,
one of the best performances I've ever seen by a new band. They can command a crowd like I've never seen before. It's unreal.
There's actually another band, two bands you, I don't know if you would mention, Airborne and Crazy Licks.
Yeah, I've heard of both of them. Yeah, I used to actually have Airborne stuff. I was really into them in high school. And Crazy Licks, I've recently listened to as well on Apple Music. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, we also got a message here from T-Bone. He said, yes, Kevin DeBrow was like the vocalist where he trained my voice to emulate the B.I. vocal fry, whatever that means, but nice.
Yeah, yeah. But,
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just, Dewey said he's seen the Struts. Yeah, they're a killer, man. Luke Spiller is amazing. Gaddy Rose went over to Indianapolis and seen the Glorious Sons, another great band, mm-hmm. open for the Struts. And, dude, it was just a hell of a show. And that dude has so much charisma. It's insane. But, the Struts are coming to Bonnaroo. That's cool. They're coming to Cincinnati in I want to say September, October. They're that new Ovation venue. I believe it'll be outside. But I'll definitely be trying to go to that.
No, you should let me know. I like to go to that. I've never seen them live.
Yeah, yeah. You should definitely do it, even if you don't know their songs. But their songs are great, too. A lot of their stuff is great. It's fun. It's upbeat. It's poppy. They actually did a cover of Do You Love Me by Kiss on their newest release.
I've heard about that.
It's pretty cool. It's more like the girl version, if you've ever heard that.
Band girl. I have.
Yeah, which is okay. But I thought it was a fun... fun way to do things, but
yeah, it's funny. The band Def Leppard thinks that they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
which they should. They'll be the youngest band to ever be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So, Liliac,
what do you think about Liliac?
I think they're really cool. I first seen her cover that the Rainbow in the Dark or something. That was going around on Facebook there for a little bit. And that girl's voice is insane, man, for how young she is. I don't know what's in the Kool-Aid these days, but a lot of these kids, man, have some killer voices.
Kool-Aid?
Yeah, so Tristan actually did a show with her down in Kentucky or something, playing with Vinny Appice from Dio's band, doing a bunch of Black Sabbath songs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Tristan told me about that.
To me, that would have been a fucking, you know, sorry for the language, amazing show to see her and him together singing back and forth. Would have been really, really neat to see for me. And I wish I'd have been able to make it, but I'd already bought tickets to the Nick Perry show over at River's Edge and didn't think I could get down there in time, but that's really, I think Liliac's great. I've got their CD on Apple Music or whatever, their album. They're pretty cool.
And, Dewey mentioned something about the KISS documentary on A&E. I have not seen it because I don't have A&E.
Yeah. So no, I have. I
Well, how was it? Was it any good?
It was well done. It's for me, knowing their whole story and knowing pretty much everything about them, I don't think I really picked up on anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the idea that Paul's ear problem was hidden from Gene for a long time.
I knew about that.
I didn't necessarily know that was hidden from him, but I don't know if that was like a big revelation or something that really made watching it, you know, worth it. But night one was just okay to me. Night two was really cool with all the 80s stuff, which I'm really into, and you know, Eric Carr stuff and Bruce Kulick and you know, all that was pretty cool. And then the whole reunion stuff was cool to you know get some more info back on. But yeah, it was really rushed through the 80s, which I hate when they do that, when they rush through all the stuff of the 80s and act like it wasn't important. Like, that's some of their best stuff, in my opinion, especially like Revenge came out in 91, and that's their best album in my period.
It's kind of funny. They were not a big fan of their non-masking era, which is interesting because, again, Lick It Up was the album that saved their lives during that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Benny Vincent saved them. I mean, say what you want about Benny. I know he can be mean sometimes, but I think he's a great guitar player, and he saved them. I can't argue with it.
Yeah, no. His songwriting definitely helped keep them around. And they brought him back for Revenge, even when he wasn't in the band. So obviously, he did something right, you know.
Right. Speaking of Kiss, actually, I don't know if you heard. I'm actually going to see Alice Cooper, and guess who's opening for Alice?
Yeah, I know. Ace Frehley.
You going to go to that?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Sweet, I'll see you there.
Yeah. So that's going to be a cool show. I'm obviously a big fan of both. Love Alice, and Ace is definitely a another hero of mine. So that's going to be a great double bill.
Wonder if he'll do his iconic laugh. Ah!
And then I'm going to see Kiss in September too. In Dayton. That's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that.
The only concert I'm going to is Fozzy around September. You should let me know when Kiss is coming. I might go with you.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited about some concerts coming up. It's good to see life coming back to normal and you know, getting back to concerts.
I think it's really good also the fact that we're walking in and it feels like, I wouldn't say a normal day, but like it feels like, you know, we just walked in, there's no mask on. We actually can talk like people. It feels like we are actually going back to what it once was. I'm not trying to say it was normal or anything, but it's just, it feels great to just not be wearing that mask anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was definitely a sight to see when we were in Hamilton and seeing all these people, you know, standing next to each other and like, you know, that's, you know, that's how I think of it is, you know, I miss like, you know, I remember going to concerts and you'd have these sweaty, nasty, smelly, stinky people next to you and whatever. And it was kind of like gross. The floor was sticky. And, you know what I mean? It's just like nasty.
Yeah.
Like I miss that. Like I can't wait to go to a concert indoors at a Bogarts or something and have beer spilled on me. Like, like I miss it so much.
That's so funny because I miss the parts where, you know, all the older ladies would try to hit on me and I'm like, guys, I know I'm 24, go away.
Yeah. So yeah, I
don't miss that at all. Actually, I don't miss that.
Yeah, no, I miss it pretty bad. And I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back to, you know, going to see shows and arenas and stuff like that. And,
right.
But yeah, so it was good to see that in Hamilton this weekend, you know, full capacity show and people just having fun and being happy. You know, that's what, you know, has been sad about this whole last year is just, you know, it's caused a lot of, you know, a lot of people got sick. A lot of people, you know, had some really tough times. And it's so good to see that going away and things opening back up and life coming back to what we remember it as, you know?
Mm-hmm. And actually, kind of, you know, switching the subject a little bit back to Quiet Riot, I kind of forgot to mention this. With your guys' stage performance, you guys have T-Bone dress up as the mascot of Quiet Riot,
mm-hmm.
or just the costume, whatever you want to call it. And also, you did a music video of Metal Health. Mm. Very well done. Can you tell me a little bit more? Tell me a little bit about the video.
Yeah. So the video. Well, that happened during the pandemic. We went in maybe in, I want to say, fall of 2019 and recorded a bunch of songs, and what we were basically doing was using that as a way to send to venues to show them what we sound like, or mm-hmm. make a promo video with a couple different songs medleyed together. And so at one, I think during the pandemic, we were like, well, we got these songs. Maybe we could, you know, make some videos or something and put that music to it and, you know, make a music video. And at the time, people were doing those, I guess they're called quarantine videos, where, you know, each person was in their own room or you know, their house or something, and you merged them all together. Well, my brother-in-law showed me how to do that. So basically what I did was I had everyone film themselves at their place or something and record them playing the song. And then I would take all the video, put it together and merge it and like splice it and cut it all together. Mm-hmm. And for being, you know, not really knowing what I'm doing and putting that all together, it was kind of cool to see at the end. I haven't watched it in a little bit, but I thought it turned out good, you know, when I seen it, you know, when I got done with it. But I haven't seen it in a while. But it was fun, and the recording was fun too. Mm-hmm. And we want to do more of those and like actually do like a real music video to one of them. I don't want to tell you which one because I want it to be a surprise when we do it. But right.
Maybe you can get on Bogart stage or JD Legend stage, whatever stage you can,
mm-hmm.
and do a classic rock and roll music video like things that Motley Crue and Aerosmith did. You know
exactly. Yep.
I think that
we've got an idea. We've got an idea. We just haven't done it yet. There's money involved and we got to. Time and that kind of stuff. So we'll get there. There's two more songs that we have fully recorded that we could easily just put a video to. We just have to record the video.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, apparently Vicky says that Russ watches it every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
every day.
So as far as like the part that we do on stage, so I actually remember when we first put this thing together, Tristan had the idea of coming out in like a wheelchair, mm-hmm. and the straight jacket and the mask and stuff like that. And that's when I knew I loved him.
This guy's awesome. I love him.
This guy and I, we're going to get together. We're going to get along great together. So he had that idea, and we actually did do it in a wheelchair for a minute, but we noticed it was starting to kind of be hard to like go over cables and go over like mm-hmm. Cable protectors, and it, with him in the chair and the girls pushing him, it was just kind of tough. And so we stopped doing that. We kind of got rid of the wheelchair. I remember he went to the flea market and bought a wheelchair and everything. I wonder where that's at now, but
according to Wanda, that was her idea.
Oh, okay. The real info is coming out now.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to expose everybody.
Yeah. See, well, maybe I actually just love Wanda. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. that idea kind of came, and then we ended up making like a loop for it, like a musical loop for it. And if you actually ever listen to it, that goofy ass laugh that's going on is actually me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
There's a lot of different stuff in it if you ever really pay attention. Like it says paging Dr. DeBro, and which is obviously Kevin. And what else is there saying? It's there's a bunch of different things going on in that, but every time we sound check it and hear it, like, we make fun of that last thing going rah, rah, you know, because there's a bunch of echo on it. And but yeah, so we turned that into like a little thing, and then we had the girls come out in like nurse outfits, and like they're chasing him, and he breaks out of the, you know, the psych ward or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's just fun. It's pretty cool.
Where did you guys actually find that mask? I mean, I know guys, you know, took it and, you know, painted it a little bit, but I actually at first thought it was a replica of that mask. And I'm like,
so it is that? It is. We found that on a Halloween store. There's a Halloween store that actually sells it.
Oh, really?
But originally, we actually just took a Jason hockey mask or whatever, and we cut it up and spray painted it gray. I think Wes did all this and made it look as close as we could. It's funny when you look back at it now to see that mask versus what we're doing now, because it's like, it's pretty neat to see the new one because it looks dead on the album cover. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been fun watching things evolve over the years. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we make or create, and but we were lucky to find that on like a Halloween costume website that was selling it, and it was pretty cheap. And it's actually really durable. It's really nice condition and stuff. Yeah, Wes, I actually made that first mask. Yeah, so.
Apparently he's going to auction everything off charity. I don't know if he's joking or being serious.
No, that's actually kind of a cool idea.
Well, watch out for me. I might take everything, you know, memorabilia. Yeah.
Hey, that would be cool. But yeah, so that's where that whole idea came from. And yeah, so I just noticed, I don't know why, but he has those pins of each guy on his jacket. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh yeah. I actually never thought about it when I saw that, but
yeah, I never really saw that.
Hit me. That's kind of funny. Nice little detail. You know, you can never see things within years later, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think there's a funny story about the straight jacket. I think that was bought off of a
Tristan
or something.
Tristan said, don't ask where the straight jacket came from. Well, you brought it up, Tristan. So he's going to ask. He's going to tell the story.
It came off of some crazy website or something, like Hustler or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it looks great.
It looks just like the jacket from the video. That's why I was just like, where are you all getting this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, are you guys going to a 1980s museum, or are you going to their houses just stealing their stuff without them knowing?
Right.
It's like, oh, we're gonna take this, we'll give it back, don't worry.
Yeah, well, we just try to bring back as much of that, you know, as much of the music videos or as much of the stuff that you remember from those shows and bands and albums as possible, you know. Like me and Tristan and Getty do that that thing in Nothing But a Good Time that's actually in the music video, where they go left a couple of times and they spin around and then they sing into the mic. That came straight from that music video. Some naughty site intended for 18 and up.
I don't think you should have put that on there, Tebow.
New condition, of course. He bought it used. But
oops.
But yeah, so that's kind of the story of that. And
I'm actually kind of curious. I know you guys do play, you know, Metal Hell for the most part, and I don't think I've ever heard you guys sing Come On Feel the Noise, but have you ever considered just doing, I know, I think I brought this up, to do an entire like album show, you know, just a straight up album.
You mentioned that. I've pitched that to them. There's a couple albums I thought would be really cool to do, which is Appetite for Destruction, either Back in Black or Highway to Hell. Or Van Halen 1. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool to just do a whole show where you just did that album and then, you know, followed it up with what we normally do as well. Right. But
Night Ranger did it. They pulled it off.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. If that's something you guys all think would be cool, let us know, and maybe we'll be able to pull that off somewhere.
I honestly think you guys should do Metal Health, that entire album, because I think people will go nuts over that. And then for a heck of it, maybe play more future Quiet Riot songs. And, you know, I hate to say this, maybe play something from the Paul Sorrentino years. I don't know if you ever listened to the Paul Sorrentino years.
No, I haven't.
Go and listen to it. It's actually not a bad album. Okay. I mean, granted, you listen to it, it's not Kevin DeBro. It doesn't have that Quiet Riot roughness to it.
Yeah.
But take Quiet Riot out of that category, just like the Crew album with John.
Yeah.
You'll realize it's not a bad album. The song Stay With Me Tonight, killer track. And I think that album does not get a lot of credit than what it is. So,
yeah.
I think you guys should do some Paul Sorrentino stuff.
I would love to play this album in its entirety.
When you mention Karabi, are you fans of
show up? Love that album. That's just, I literally listen to that weekly, if not daily, for the most part. It's heavy. It's not your typical Motley Crue album, but it is a killer album.
Hey Dewey, as you can see in the background, I'm a huge Motley fan, so I have every single album and everything by him. So, yes, I am a fan of that album.
Yeah, I've heard that there was going to be a part two to that album, and I guess some of those songs became Generation Swine.
It was, and he mentioned that in an interview.
It was going to be called Personality Number 9.
Yep,
what the second album was going to be called.
Yeah,
and I'd love to have heard that. And I guess John actually has recordings of it.
He does actually. It's what I've heard. Now, I think it would have been cool. It really would have. Regarding that, nobody cared at that time with John. They all wanted Vince back, and with all respect to Vince, I get it. But
sure, yeah,
I would actually have loved to hear what John would have gave them next, because I think if people would have given him a chance, I think the band would have been just as big as, if not bigger than what they were in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I definitely think that, I think the name Motley Crue hurt them.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because people were kind of like over that whole thing. So they didn't really give. So Motley Crue fans wanted the same old stuff and they didn't give them that. And the people that they were trying to appeal to didn't want anything to do with it because it was Motley Crue. So it was kind of they weren't in a winning situation. But if you listen to that now with a fresh mind and don't really think about it as this is new Motley Crue or something like that, let's just listen to it as a good album. It's so solid, man.
You could look at it as the Nikki Sixx project or
the
regular Karabi album
or
the Karabi era.
I get why they went with the name Motley Crue. It's a brand. They had to keep that brand going and they weren't going to just start over. That's stupid. But, at the same time, I kind of wonder if that's what hurt that whole situation. But
also, look at it this way. When that was happening, Vince was on a solo career with Expose and, you know, the other album that I can't think of at the moment. Two good albums. But again, he was at the time when grunge took over. Nobody really cared about the, you know, glam hair metal era at that time.
Right.
So, I mean, anyway, I mean, both good albums, but they were at a lose situation there.
Yeah.
There was something they can do.
Right. Yes. Please introduce yourself next time. I'd love to meet you, man.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. It's good to find some more Motley 94 friends.
Yes. John's a cool dude, Dewey. I don't know if you met him, but he's awesome.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. But yeah, man. Anything else going on?
Other than the fact that, hey, guys, guess what? I don't know if you care, but I am a college graduate.
Woo!
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wait. Check this out. See this?
Yeah.
Boom. That's for you.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I gotta do this.
Spam! I don't know what you're doing.
I was just tossing the wrestler saying that I'm awesome. I don't know why I did that. I shouldn't have done that. I really shouldn't have done that. I can't believe I did that. Oh gosh.
No, that's awesome, man. Seriously, congratulations. That's a lot of work you put in, and I hope it pays off for you, and I hope you get the job that you're looking for.
That's the goal. And hopefully I continue to do more podcasts with you and also with my show. And
yeah.
Because I do enjoy these podcasts. I enjoy talking about rock history with you and talk about what you've been doing with your band. And, you know, I don't know, man. One day we might become the next metal show.
You never know. We'll be that Arena Rock Show. Oh, we already are. Shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't you that Arena Rock Show? I don't know who I am. I'm the nerd that follows you around.
No. No, it's it's a lot of fun doing these things and talking music. I would do this if we weren't on camera, you know, so it's just fun to be able to share it with, you know, the few people that tune in and get to hang out for a little bit. So, it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's really not much to say, but all of y'all, if you have not heard Quiet Riot, go online, check them out. Seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you don't like them, well, and I don't know. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
But all of y'all, take care and keep rocking. I'm Seabass.
And I am Nikki Starr. And this has been, I'm just looking for the video to play. I'm stalling. Sorry. All right. I found it. This has been fun. We'll see you next week or 2 weeks from now, right?
2 weeks.
Wait, this or this?
I don't know. It's like kind of like this because, you know, it's kind of angled in a weird way. Yeah, yeah. You know, live long and prosper, peace, you know. Yeah.
Four horsemen.
Four horse. Oh, yeah. Okay,
looking for a horseman. All right. Anyways, see you guys later. You know where you